Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. The word of God for the people of God.
All right. Good morning. Yeah. So wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Pouring down rain. Hallelujah. All right. Well, yeah, Sarah and I had a great opportunity, though. We kind of snuck out. We went out on Friday and backpacked along the Mackenzie River Trail, which is just astounding beauty of waterfalls and the blue pool. And so the amazing thing is, some of you already heard the story, but we hiked pretty much all day Friday in the rain. But when you're backpacking, the worst thing is to unload and get set up in the rain, right? Everything gets wet. So we get to our campsite, and as we get to the campsite, it stops raining completely. Set up all of our stuff, get the tent up, you know, eat, eventually crawl in. And then all through the night, no rain. And I woke up really early, like 4:45. And Sarah was awake too. And we kind of, once we realized we were both awake, we thought, you know, it's still not raining. We should pack up now and go before it starts to rain. So we pack up our tent and get everything going, eat breakfast, quick breakfast. And we hike back, 15 miles back to the car. And as we're going along, it's like actually kind of sunny. And we're the whole way, we're just like, thank you, God. You know, this is great. We'll take whatever you give us, Lord. We're so thankful. And we're just, every once in a while, we'd have that. And we just kept motoring. And right when we got to the car, literally, we get to the car, it starts to lightly sprinkle. We throw our stuff in the car real quick, get inside because we were hungry, wanted to eat lunch. Get inside the car. It literally, the heavens opened up and rain just poured down. We're like, okay, I don't know, Lord, if you did that just for us, but we're thankful either way. So it was a lot of fun. Mackenzie River Trail, by the way, the blue pool and some incredible waterfalls. Just such an amazing display of God's creation. It's just really fantastic. All right. So since Easter Sunday, what have we been celebrating? The resurrection, that's right. We've been celebrating the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus celebrates more than just a one-time event. And that's what we've been trying to kind of communicate to you over this course of this series. It's not just remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago, although that's amazing to remember that event. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's invitation to us today. It's an invitation to a new and changed life. So we don't have to just be the same people we were before, but God is inviting us and renewing us. Even like that song, the resurrected king is resurrecting me. We're in this lifelong process of growing and experiencing resurrection life, the life of Jesus in our life. And through this series of messages, we have looked at how embracing the work of Christ's death and resurrection, because I've mentioned this before, sometimes we can get so focused on the cross and on our sin that we kind of get stuck there. And the cross is, you have to have the cross or you can't have the resurrection, right? So I'm not taking away from the cross, but we can't stay stuck at the cross. We need to come through and experience resurrection life, just like Jesus did. That's the invitation. The invitation is, yes, to die to your old ways, but then the invitation also is to live into the new ways of God and to experience the life, the fullness of life in Christ. Hallelujah. It's great. I mean, what hope is there for the follower of Jesus, right? Even in these dark times that we can believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is not probably how you're supposed to preach a message, but I want to pause also today. It is Memorial Day, and we've remembered those who have served our country. But this last week was a tragic event that took place in Uvalde. I think that's how you say it. And with all those kids and a couple of teachers losing their lives. And then, you know, just the violence that seems to be in our society, it Some people say it's not worse. I think it has gotten worse, personally. If we could just, I'm just going to pause again for a moment. And one of the reasons, the way I can not just try to tie this to the message, but I believe that our country, our world today, desperately needs to hear and see Christians living a resurrected life. Amen. And that as we live our lives, I mean, who knows, you know, and people can come up with all kinds of theological stuff here, but who knows if someone had got a hold of that young man's life when he was much younger and it instilled the heart and the life of and the principles of God's love into him, if there couldn't have been just a whole different outcome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this country, this world needs the message even that we've been talking about. But let's just pause again. I just feel it would be remiss of me as a pastor to just forget that happened only a few days ago. So I know it's a pretty harsh reality, but Lord, we just want to pray right now. Lord, there are families that are just steeped in grief, whose children have been violently taken away from them. And Lord, just the depth of how could this happen, or why would this happen? How could, again, some will ask, how could a God of love allow these kinds of things to happen? Lord, personally, I just do not believe that your will was accomplished that day. No. It was a man who, in his sin and in his anger, committed a heinous crime. So, Lord, I just pray that you, in the midst of it all, would somehow reach into the tragedy of this situation and bring people to yourself. And you're their only hope, Lord, in this time. There's otherwise those families, those parents, though, and the other kids that survived and experienced that trauma, I see no way out for them except for through you. And I pray, Lord, that you would even now begin to minister your heart and your life back into that situation. And just, I think of the police officers that were involved, the other teachers, the kids. Lord God, it's overwhelming. We don't even know what to say hardly, but we look to you and cry out to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, difficult to transition from that, but I meant to do that earlier. Yeah. So I'll just say it again. I'm convinced that the gospel makes a difference. I'm convinced that that Jesus' death and resurrection that occurred 2,000 years ago is still working, and he longs to change hearts and lives today. That's what he's wanting to do. And it's really as we've turned away from the gospel for the most part here in this country that we see a lot of the things that we're seeing. At least that's my perspective on things. And it's just my hope that we could all be a part of sharing this good news with others as God gives us the opportunity. So, all right, so through this series of messages, we have looked at how embracing the work of Christ's death and resurrection in our personal life, it helps us to experience an abundant life, a hopeful life, a selfless Christ-centered life, a life of freedom, and a meaningful life. Those are what the messages have been leading up to this time. Today, we're going to look at how the resurrection of Jesus opens the door for us to live an empowered life, to live an empowered life. And, you know, to be empowered, you know, empowering others, it's fairly kind of almost a buzzword a bit today. But to be empowered is, not to be redundant, is powerful. It is. To be empowered is just an amazing experience. So what does it mean to be empowered? Let's just talk about that for a second, because there's kind of two facets or two aspects of what this idea of being empowered means. The first has to do with authority. For example, a judge can issue a sentence because their position, they have been empowered, right? By the United States or the state or the city government, they have been empowered to do that. So they've been given power to render decisions in these cases. So in this definition of empower, in this sense, the definition of empower is to give power or authority. It's to authorize. So it's someone who has power gives you power, or, you know, you receive power to do what that person, you know, or what that entity is asking you to do. And this reminds me of what Jesus said to his disciples and still says to us today. You think I'd go to the Great Commission, but I'll come back to that later. But where Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." So as I have been empowered, I'm empowering you. So I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So this sense, again, of Jesus, the one who holds all authority, empowering us, his disciples, his followers, and giving us authority to go out and to proclaim the gospel, as I mentioned just a few moments ago. But to be empowered can also mean to enable or permit. And when you are empowered, you are enabled. You're given the strength. You have permission to do that which your ministry or role requires of you. And it may not even just be a ministry. God empowers people to do all kinds of things. So there's this sense of being, you're either empowered, you're given authority to do something, or you're empowered. In other words, you're strengthened so that you can do the thing that you're called to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So pastor and author Tony Evans, I think this speaks strongly to me of being empowered. He wrote this. He said, "One day I was in an airport rushing to catch a plane. I was sweating and puffing when I looked to my right and saw a man walking half as fast as I was, but was moving faster than me. He was walking on a moving sidewalk." So you can, I mean, you kind of get the picture here, you know, suitcases and running as hard as you can and laboring and do. And I see people doing this all the time, you know, carrying all this stuff and running in their own strength, where the guy next to him just hops on a moving elevator, and he's still walking, but he's moving even faster than Tony Evans. And he goes on to say, when we walk in the Spirit, the Spirit comes underneath us and bears us along. We're still walking, but we walk dependent on Him. It's just a beautiful picture to me. And if you've been in airports or anywhere else and walked on those, they're actually a lot of fun. You know, you see people walking along, you know, and you're just like, you know, and off you go. So today, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Actually, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So how does the work of the Holy Spirit relate to the resurrection, right? We're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection. So why am I talking about the Holy Spirit today? Well, listen to what Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of John. He says, "But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit. So what necessitated the coming of the Spirit, or what needed to happen before the Spirit could be poured out upon everybody? Jesus had to, in a sense, go away. He needed to be resurrected from the dead and ascend to heaven. And once he was resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven, then what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. In fact, he says again in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he says, so they kind of come together. It's right before he's going to be ascended to heaven. And they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he replied, "It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. You will be empowered," right, by God. "You will be empowered when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So this is the connection today to celebrating the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection because it opened wide the doors for the Holy Spirit to come upon all people who would open themselves to the Spirit of God and be empowered by the Spirit. So you got the connection? Yes. We're celebrating the resurrection because the resurrection made this great outpouring possible. Now, people in the past, before this time, it does say God put his Spirit into people and they prophesied or they were able to do this work, but it was very kind of individual and for a season or for a time. But this now, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us all the time, those of us who are believers. So I guess the question is now, what are we empowered for? Why do we have this power? Why is this power given to us? What are we empowered to do? And kind of like Tony said a couple weeks ago in his message, it's like, I could talk about thousands of things that we're empowered to do, right? I really could, but I'm just going to focus on three today. So, you know, all the ones I skip and all the ones you wish I would have touched on, you can go back and do your own study and find out all the other things you're empowered to do, right? I'm just going to toss out three. That's the weakness of preaching, by the way. You do know that. You just get these few moments to say a few things, and then you just hope that somebody gets something out of it, you know? But I would always encourage you to take even the message that's preached and say, okay, you talked about being empowered, and go home and dig deeper for yourself. I can guarantee you this. I'm not going to, you know, in 30 minutes, I'm not going to go that deep. I'm going to just present some ideas, you hopefully encourage you, challenge you a little bit, but you can always go home and take it further, right? Or go better yet, go home or talk to somebody today and say, hey, let's get together on Tuesday and for a cup of coffee and talk more about this. And let's see what the Lord would say to us. Or we're almost done for the summer, but you know, that's why we come together on Thursday nights. That's what my life group's all about. It's to take the message that we had here that was just so, it's usually so short. Well, some of you don't think that probably, especially when I'm preaching. But go deeper. And how does this actually apply to our lives? Anyway, so with all those, and I just had about 18 disclaimers there, but here we go. The first thing that we're empowered to do is we are empowered to love. Now, we talk a lot about, you know, love, but you know what? And you can go, man, they're always talking about love. Well, you know what? We're always going to talk about love. I mean, you can't get any deeper than love. You can't. And not like the world thinks of love, but the love that was expressed to us by God through Jesus Christ and the love that we're called to express to one another. I'm just telling you, it's one thing to know that we're empowered to love. It's still another thing to love. Love is actually quite challenging and difficult. Ask most people, you know, ask almost anybody that's married, you know. And I feel my relationship with Sarah is I love her. I mean, and she still makes my knees go weak. Okay. I love her passionately, but you know, there's days where things just aren't, we're just, for whatever reason, we're just missing it. You know, we're just not communicating or something. And then love comes in and says, we need to work a little harder to get to the core of whatever it is we're struggling with. So love is challenging. Love is challenging when you come out to church and somebody's, you know, is having an off day and that off day rubs off on you. You happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and somebody says something and then, I can get offended, you know, and how could their people talk to me like that? You know? But that's where love then, what I'm talking about, this empowerment to love, I need the Spirit of God to come into my heart to help me to love that other person. And there are things that just happen and conflicts that arise, and I have to ask myself, this is kind of my go-to. It's like, God, give me your heart for that person. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling offended. I'm feeling insulted, whatever it is. But God, it's not about me. You've asked me to love you with all my heart and to love others as I love myself. And God, I need your heart. And God is, I'll just tell you, God is faithful to answer that prayer, to give me his heart, to help me see that person more for who they probably really are. And to acknowledge that maybe there were reasons that they were responding or acting that way. Could be deep hurt. It could be anything. Are you with me? So I know you can kind of go, oh, yeah, it's supposed to love. Yeah, I'm empowered to love. You know, when's he going to talk about Revelation 10, 12, and the six dragons and 23, whatever? You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, people look for that kind of stuff. When I'm saying we're not, we haven't even mastered loving one another. We haven't mastered loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors ourselves. And I'm all for getting, I just pull, I know, I don't know what's in the Revelation passage I quoted, but I'm just saying, you know, we can get so concerned with some of those things thinking that's deeper truth. There's nothing deeper than loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbors yourself. There's nothing deeper than that. That's a lifelong quest. And a pursuit that we can all grow in. And it's what I know clearly we're called to do. And then we are empowered by the Spirit to do so. I've kind of already quoted it, so the passage, you can just float by it. But, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. When you wonder even, you know, another thing too, people say, well, what is God's purpose for me? What am I doing here? What's my ministry calling? What, I don't, you know, this person has a ministry, but I don't have a ministry. You have a ministry. You know what your ministry is? It's to love. You guys look this thrilled. Man, I had like zero amens on that one. It's like, but that's it. I mean, you're here on earth to love. Well, and while that may sound easy, as I said before, in all practicality, love isn't love until it is demonstrated. And love shows itself in action through service. Listen to what Jesus did. And this is what it says in 1 John. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent an action. He took action to his love. He didn't just sit in heaven and go, yeah, I love you. No, he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice, a service that Jesus performed for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. And I'm just here to say, I'll speak for myself, that is impossible without the Holy Spirit for me to truly and genuinely love people that's not just selfish or makes me feel good, but to love another human being, even when that person is making it very difficult for me to love them. So love. We are empowered to love. The second thing is, and you're going to catch a pattern here in just a second, we are empowered to grow. And by this, I mean to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We cannot, it's just kind of this paradox that I need the Spirit to even hunger for more of the Spirit. I need the Spirit to stir something in my heart on a daily basis so that I would hunger and thirst for righteousness. I need the Spirit of God to live out and to have the character and to live out the ways of God, right? I mean, what is it? How do we have the fruit of this? What is the fruit of the Spirit? We are empowered by God, by the Spirit of God, to love, to joy, to peace, to patience, to kindness, to goodness, to meekness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful natures to the cross. So they're, and crucified them there. So that's the cross part. But since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know what this world needs? It does need Jesus. It needs love. It needs joy. It needs peace. It needs long-suffering. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. And not through the next thing we buy or the next relationship we have or the next movie we watch. I'm not saying, you know, whatever, enjoy those things, enjoy life. But even as much as I love to go backpacking and to connect with God through creation, I need something deeper even than that. I need the Spirit of the living God. To live out, to live a life that reflects the character and nature of God. And this is a life that glorifies God. People that live by the Spirit are going to glorify God in their lives. Because the Spirit, what is the Spirit always doing? It's always seeking to glorify the Father. The Spirit of God lives to glorify the Godhead, to put it that way. It's just, that's just the very nature of the Spirit. And when we follow the Spirit, we grow and produce fruit. that honors our resurrected Savior. All the way back in Ezekiel chapter 36, God was speaking through Ezekiel, and he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. So this was a prophetic word given by Ezekiel while they were in exile. I don't want to get into all that, but just so this is a prophetic word. And when did this prophetic word from Ezekiel fully come to pass? When did it really fully come to pass? At Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is resurrected. The church experienced Pentecost. The Spirit was poured out upon the church. And what happened? Listen, I'm just going to tell you from my own experience that before I met Jesus, before the Spirit of God came into my heart and life, my heart was a heart of stone. I was just dead in my sin. I was committed to no one else but myself. Now, you know, I maybe had friends and girlfriends or whatever, but even then, it was all about numero uno, me. My heart was a heart of stone, and the Spirit of God came in and started a work, began to transform my life, began to help me to actually love other people and to grow in my relationship with Christ, to continue to push things out and to bring new things in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Amen. When we embrace the Spirit, our hearts are tenderized towards God. Tenderized towards God. And we are moved to honor God in our words and actions. It is the Spirit who empowers us to grow. The Spirit empowers us to grow. So then Spirit empowers us. We are given, we are enabled to love. Then we are empowered, we're enabled so that we can actually grow in our relation. This comes again when we're dependent and relying upon the Spirit daily, when we try to keep in step and walk with the Spirit. So thirdly, then we are empowered to
go.
Okay, we are empowered to go. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this whole thing about I didn't go to Bible school or whatever. Bible school is great. Certainly studying scripture is great. Gaining some understanding and certainly knowing the God. All that stuff's good. But you know what? I led people to Jesus weeks after I came to know the Lord. Wow. Wow. I wasn't waiting around for people to tell me what. I just shared my testimony. People knew me. People saw me. I remember a friend of mine who came to visit me. It's been a long time that I told the story. And I think I'd known Jesus for like 2 or 3 weeks. And he's like, man, I'm going to come straighten you out. I don't know what's all this Jesus stuff, man. You know, he said he's going, blah, 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 you know, and he's coming at him. And then we said, well, let's go out and have some coffee. Let's talk about it. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll go. He really wanted to know what happened in my life, but he was all, you know, he can't let me know that, right? And within 20, 30 minutes, he's given his life to Jesus. Why? Because I knew the Bible. Because all I knew was that I was blind, but now I see. And I could share with him, I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was lost in my sins, and now I've been forgiven, and I'm set free, and hallelujah. And he was like, okay. So he's like, yeah, that, and he's like, I need that. I'm like, that's awesome, dude. I think we're supposed to pray. Okay, let's pray. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus, for the love. Okay, now you pray. I don't know how to pray. No, just go whatever, man. You just say whatever. You know, probably swore a few times. But hey, he prayed. And his life, and to this day, that dude is still following Jesus. Okay. So what's my point? What happened there? It was just the empowering of the Spirit, right? I was just testifying to what God had done in my life. And you all of us have that access. Now, we're all different. You know, I'm kind of crazy and wild, and, you know, I just do stupid stuff. But, you know, so I'm not saying you have to be, it's not saying you're like me. You just let the Spirit be the Spirit through you. And through your personality and through your experience, life experiences. Your life experiences are different than my life experiences, but you have the Spirit of God. That's what I'm really trying to communicate to you. And you have a testimony. Even if the testimony is, I came to Christ when I was in the third grade and I followed him ever since. It's a powerful testimony. I didn't have to do all God, the keeping power of God, whatever it is. Because we are enabled to do this. Jesus said again in Acts 1:8, I just read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Listen, the Bible shows us over and over again also people that were called of God. So I relate to the struggle. I don't know, man. I just don't think I can do it. Well, hi, Moses. Hi, Jeremiah. Hi, you know, I mean, I could just go on and on with all the people that when God called were instantly looked at themselves and said, I'm not able to do this. Well, you know what my advice to you is? Just get that out of the way real quick. Yep, that's right. You're not able to do it. All right, good. We've settled that fact. Now, Jesus, do it through me, right? Just do it through me. Just do it through me, Lord. Just help me. Help me to be a testimony to you. And again, you don't have to bash people over the heads with the Bible. You don't have to go through every checkout line and tell somebody about Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But when the opportunities are there, just even if you quickly just need to say, God, help me to share your test. Just allow the Spirit of God to move through you. Dr. Christine Beasley wrote, a life of loving and serving God and others is a maximized life. I just love this quote. A fulfilled life. So in other words, this idea of instead of just grabbing all that we can while we can and getting the most out of this is talking about a sacrificial life, a life that is just loving God and loving others. That's a maximized, fulfilled life. Yes, you are called to a life of service, she goes on to say. This is what you were made for. What's more, you are not expected to draw upon your own strength to meet this calling. And this is a key thing that I see so many of us wrestle with, this sense of we're very aware of our inabilities. We're very aware of our lack. But that's not where our focus should be. Our focus should be on the one, sorry, this is me talking now, not her anymore, but just our focus should be on the one who empowers us to do whatever it is he's called us to do. So she goes on to say, you are not left to pursue this life of servanthood on your own. That's why you have the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in your favor. Embrace it with gusto. It will propel you forward in ministry, wider in your reach for the kingdom, and deeper in your walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen to that. So as I close today, I want to leave you with a question. And again, not a question that, you know, just a question for you to think about, just to walk away and just say, you know, am I really living the resurrected life? Am I living my life in such a way that I acknowledge my utter need of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, you may say, oh, man, no, I'm not, you know, but don't stop there. Like, if that's the case, then just come to God and say, Lord, help me. Just help me, Lord. Help me to really, I feel like I'm Anya's twin here, but God has so much more. He really does. God has more. God is not seeking to beat you down or to condemn you further than what you already do to yourself, certainly. God's heart is for you to, you know, even if you answer that question like, oh man, no, I'm not really living and experiencing the fullness of the resurrection life. Okay. But then there's this invitation to more. The invitation is to more. The invitation is to say, okay, turn and allow the Holy Spirit to empower and to fill your life. So the question is, am I allowing the Spirit to empower me to love, to grow, and to go? And again, you may say, man, that's just so simple. But I think that really it encapsulates the Christian experience and what we're called to as followers of Jesus. Amen. To love God, to love others, to grow in our relationship with God and with others, and to go in some kind of service or communicate, and hopefully communicating the gospel of Jesus to others. And we need the Spirit of God to do so. Amen? So we have today, we're going to celebrate communion. And as you come forward today, as you are considering, really more than anything, I think really what the appeal would be, or the invitation from God to us would be, to embrace the more, to embrace the Spirit more fully, to yield yourself more completely. If you are a believer, the Spirit of God dwells within you, but I think there are things, and Jesus made this clear, there's things that can choke out, or we can even quench the Spirit in our lives, right? And so if you feel that maybe there's been some quenching or some things you've struggled with that have just kind of maybe keep the Spirit, I mean, it's the Spirit of God, but I think there's some the ways that the Spirit works with us. And we can do things or position ourselves in such a way as to allow the Holy Spirit to just flow more out of our lives. And so maybe there's things that you just need to, as you come to this altar and you take the bread and you take that cup, and you would just say, God, help me to crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires. But then help me, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Fill me afresh. Do a new work in me. Pour your Spirit out upon me in new ways. Whatever your language is, but really, that's where we're trying to get this morning. You know, just wanting more, hungering and thirsting for the very Spirit of God, and for God to just take greater place in our hearts and lives.